week, as you can probably tell. Let me introduce myself. I think I'm going to need these. Yeah, that's better. My name is Cindy Fulton. I've been married to George for 23 years. I don't have any children of my own, but I have a stepson that's an adult. His name is Spencer. And I just got to retire. I'm only 50, I know, but I got to retire early. I was a nurse for many years. When Karen asked me to speak on the subject of sharing our faith, I thought to myself, there must be someone else better equipped to share on this subject. And I'm sure that there is. But as I prayed about it, I felt like God was asking me to give this teaching to bring hope to women that have struggled to share their faith as I have. And later on, I'll share part of my personal journey of how God has helped me to get past my fears, past my insecurities, and help me to share my faith in a more bold way. Tonight, I want to begin by looking at the topic as far as what God says about it. He has given us a perfect example of how to share our faith in His Son, Jesus. And I want to look at the life of Jesus and look at His approach to people as He shared the gospel with them. I also want to look at the importance that He placed on sharing the gospel, and also how people responded to Him when He shared the gospel with them. Jesus told us in Matthew 4:19, and I'm going to mention this verse several times tonight. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I love that verse. And after we look at the example that Jesus gave us for how we are to share our faith and in the gospel, I want to look at some practical ways we can cooperate with Jesus as He makes us fishers of men. So first of all, the example of Jesus. His approach to the lost. There's three things that I want to look at in how He approached the lost. Isn't it scary? It's scary for me anyway to share my faith, and I want to look at how Jesus approached the lost. First of all, He was compassionate, and that's no surprise to us, but in Matthew 9:36, it says, "When Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them." How do we feel when we look at the lost? To tell you the truth, sometimes that's not my first response, is one of compassion. But Jesus teaches us to be compassionate as we look at them. He also saw their spiritual need. In that same verse, Matthew 9:36, the last half of it, it said He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Are we able to look past the behavior and sometimes even the sin of people that don't know God yet, and see their spiritual need? Not that we condone the sin, but that we look past it to see that they need Jesus first, and then God will change their behavior. The third thing I want to look at as far as His approach to the lost was that He spent time with sinners. In fact, He was even criticized by the religious people because He spent so much time with sinners. But in Luke 15:1-2, it says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him," to Jesus, "to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" How much time do we spend with people that don't know God yet? It's so easy, and it's happened in my life too, that as we become a Christian and have been a Christian for many years, we get busy with our own lives, with church, with our Christian friends, and sometimes we don't even make time for the lost. So we really need to do that. Jesus made time for the lost and those that were labeled as sinners. The second thing I want to look at as far as the life of Jesus and the example that He gave us was the importance of preaching the gospel to Him. Wherever Jesus went, He preached the gospel. In fact, in Mark 1:38, He said, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come forth." So preaching the gospel was of great importance to Jesus, and He has called us to follow His example. Have you ever noticed one of the first things that He said to the disciples when He called them? He said that verse I've already quoted, "Follow me and I'll do what? I'll make you fishers of men." Not "I'll make you great preachers" or anything else. He said, "I'll make you fishers of men." And then after his resurrection, he said to the disciples, go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And the very last thing that he said to the disciples, right before he ascended into heaven, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the very last thing he told his followers is, you're going to be witnesses for me. Is sharing the gospel with others as important to us as it was to Jesus? And the third thing that I want to look at in regards to his example is the results of his preaching. Some believed and some rejected, didn't they? And I mention that because so often we feel like a failure when we share our faith and we're rejected. Either they reject what we say or they even can reject us because we're Christians. But that doesn't mean we are a failure. I mean, we're in good company. They rejected God, too. They rejected Jesus when he shared the gospel with them. We're not responsible for how people respond to the gospel. And I want to say that again because sometimes we feel like that. But we're not responsible for how people respond to the gospel. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So it's God that draws people to himself. And then later on in John 16:8, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts people of their sin. So we can't even convict people, even though sometimes we want to and we try, but it's not us that convicts people. It's the Holy Spirit. So if God draws people to himself, Jesus died so that he could come, so that they could come to himself, and the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. What's our part? What's our part in sharing the gospel? We simply give out God's invitation to people. And I wanted to just briefly mention, remember the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22? Damien just recently preached about that. The king sent out his servants three different times to call those who were invited to the wedding of his son. And do you remember what Damien said in the parable? The king is God, the son is Jesus, the last group of servants is us, and the wedding invitation is the gospel. I think that's so neat. Our job as believers is simply giving out an invitation to people. Well, if it's so easy, and it does sound kind of simple, why do we struggle with this so much, including me? I have really, really struggled with this. I find comfort in the words of Jesus, and I'm going to say this verse again. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He makes us fishers of men. How can we cooperate with Jesus as he makes us fishers of men? I think it can be summed up in three simple phrases. The first one is to be willing. The second one is to be ready. And the third one is to be obedient. I love simple things. I'll just repeat it. To be willing, to be ready, and to be obedient. I told you earlier that I would share a little bit of how God has helped me in this journey of learning how to share my faith. And I thought the best way to do that is maybe just to tell you a little bit from my journal. I don't know if any of you do that. But since 1982, I've been keeping a journal. I became a Christian in 1980. I think it took 2 years for me to get up the nerve to start one again because my little brother found mine in high school and he told my mother everything that was in it. And that was before I was a Christian. So anyway, I quit keeping a journal for a while, but let me just read you some excerpts. July 1982, and I wrote my journal as if I was praying to God. Oh, Father, why do I get so scared when you ask me to witness? Why is it so hard for me? It's because I'm afraid of what other people will think. I'm afraid of their rejection. Jump ahead to June of 1996, 14 years later, and I'm still afraid. I continue to fight this battle of obeying your voice when you ask me to tell others that you love them. How can I ask you to use me and then say no to what you asked me to do? It was a real dilemma. The next year, January 1997, I wrote, I continue to wrestle with telling others that you love them. How can I go on serving you in other ways and be hung up in this one area of obedience? We recently studied Jonah, and I saw myself in him more than I ever have before. Will I have to be swallowed by a whale before I obey you and everything? And that sounds funny, but I was starting to think that I was going to have to be. It was going to take something drastic. One more excerpt. 1997, I write, most days I feel like you are so far away. I feel like I have put distance between us because I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. During this time, I continued to go to church. I continued to read my Bible. I was praying. I was obeying God in other areas and serving Him in other ways. But I knew in my heart of hearts, I was not fully surrendered to Him in this area. I don't have time to give all the details of how God began to change that about me, but I'll just give you some highlights. Three of them. One of them was I realized I couldn't change myself, and that may be obvious to you, but it took me a long time to figure that out. And so I just began to ask God, God, you change me. Give me your desires. I desire to protect myself, but you give me your desires to reach out and to love people. The second thing is I began to learn more of His mercy and who He was in His scriptures. And just focused on who He was and tried to take the focus off my failures, because it's depressing when we look at ourselves, and that's what I was doing. And so I just, during that time, I mean, that's 17 years. That's sad. It's embarrassing. But I just give that out to you guys just to give hope to those of you that may struggle in the ways that I did. But over those years, I began to fall in love with Jesus more and more as I saw Him in the scripture and His mercy and His grace towards me. And the scripture says, too, that as we love God, we obey Him more. So as my love for Him grew, my obedience also grew. And the third thing that I learned that I have time to go over is I learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a new Christian, I hadn't been taught that. And so I remember hearing about that. I don't know exactly when, but I prayed and asked God to give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Karen's done a great teaching on that a couple of weeks ago. But I just asked God to fill me up and baptize me with His Holy Spirit. And I did begin to see Him make changes over time to make me more bold in sharing my faith. So that one little simple phrase, be willing, can take a long time in our lives. And not that I'm totally willing now, but at least I'm more obedient than I was back then. Let's go on and look at the simple phrase of be ready. To be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. How can we be ready or prepared to always share the gospel with people? I want to look at five things briefly and that will help us know how to be ready to share the gospel. The first is to know what the gospel is. And that may sound obvious, but are we able to tell others and define what the gospel is? Literally, it means good news. And in our homework, it talked about this, but Paul defined it for us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And I won't give it all, but I'll summarize it. He said, I declare to you the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. And that's the gospel. Jesus died for us so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. There's a lot of people out there that are telling a different kind of gospel or adding something. If you talk to people, a lot of people will say, I'm good enough to get to heaven. But that's not the gospel, so we need to know what the gospel is. Secondly, it helps if we know how to lead someone to salvation using God's word. If someone came up to you and said, I want to become a Christian, could you take them to God's word and show them scripture that tells them how to do that? Let me give you five scriptures. They're not the only ones that we can use, but I think they're the ones that are used most often. But I have mine written in the front of my Bible, Some people underline them, highlight them, however you want to do it. But we should have these scriptures written down somewhere in case someone asks us how they can become a Christian. The first one is John 3:16. We all know that one. God loves them and loves us. John 3:16. The second one is Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. That's an important verse to know and to show people, because a lot of people in this world don't think they have sinned. The third one is Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, the result of sin is death. I'm just reading parts of the verse, but many people think that, well, I'm doing something wrong, but it's not as bad as the next guy. But God says in His Word, the result of our sin is death. The fourth verse is Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. And that says that Christ died to pay the penalty for our sin. That is good news, and we need to tell people that. And the last one is Romans 10:9. Romans 10:9. If you believe and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. So those five verses will help you lead someone to salvation if they want to do that, using God's words, not our own. I think that's a good thing to know. The third thing is to write out your testimony. And the homework had a section, a question on that. I hope you had time to do that. But if you didn't, I'd encourage you to do that. If we don't have our testimony written out, we're not ready to give it. Because I don't know about you, but I just go off on different tangents and different things, and I don't trust myself to give them my testimony in the way that God wants me to. So it helps to write it. It's such a powerful tool. People can tell us, oh, I don't believe the Bible, or I don't think that I'm a sinner. But it's hard for them to argue against what God has done in your life. So I just encourage you to have it written down and know it well enough that if God gives you an opportunity, you can tell somebody your testimony. Sometimes it's just parts of it. And I try to keep mine short, maybe a minute or two, because most of the time when we get to share with people, we don't have a whole lot of time. So it's good to have it short and sweet. The fourth thing that can help us be ready and be prepared to give out the gospel is to have gospel tracts with you. And if you're like I was, I thought to myself, I'm not that type of person that gives out gospel tracts, because I thought they were kind of strange, actually. I'm sorry to say that, but this is something that one of those things that I fought God over during the 17 years. I didn't want to do that. And finally, I just began to surrender in that area. And so I started putting them in my purse, putting them in my car. Wherever I go, I have a gospel tract. The church has them free. They're wonderful tools to have. But as I started putting them in places where I could use them, God began to ask me to give them out. And I looked down on them a little bit, but in the gospel track is the gospel. And also, it's God's words. If somebody can read a gospel track and actually get saved and become a Christian. So it's a wonderful thing to have. And just pray about it and see if God would put on your heart to at least have it available in your purse or car or somewhere in case He asked you to give it out. And the fifth thing is just to be ready to share what God is doing in your life. I know that might sound obvious, but most of the people that we come in contact with, we don't have a chance to share the gospel. We're building relationships. They're our coworkers, our friends, our family. We are sharing our life with them, but we don't get to just sit down and share the gospel with them right away. So the little things that God does in our lives that we might think somebody who is not a believer might not want to hear, but say that God answers a prayer. Or He gives you a special verse, or He speaks to you through a sermon, or you learn something new about Him. We often think that a person who isn't a believer yet maybe is not interested in those things, but I have found that people are looking at our lives to see if God is real, And that's just another way that we can show that He's real. And if we're praying about it and looking for those opportunities, He does give us chances to share the things that He's doing in our lives. So that's the be ready. And then be obedient. As God made me more willing and obedient in sharing my faith, He began to ask me to do more things that took me out of my comfort zone. And that's why I wasn't willing in the first place, because I knew He was going to do that. And sure enough, He did. I'd like to read from my journal again. September 2001. So that's 4 years after my last journal entry that we talked about. 1997 was the last one. So 2001, I just had my first neighborhood Bible study in my home. I got sick to my stomach at the thought of inviting all the women in my neighborhood, but You gave me peace by the time I got to the front door of the first house. That Bible study went on for about a year. And then 2002, about 5 months later, my neighbor received Jesus as her Savior last night at my neighborhood Bible study. It's such a privilege to pray with someone in your living room and watch them receive Christ with you. It was an honor. January 2004, You asked me to give a party for the neighborhood kids and present the gospel to them. 15 of them attended, and 5 became Christians. My joy abounds as I obey You. And then October 2009, just a few weeks ago, You asked me to stop and give a tract to a lady I passed by on my way home. I was tired, and I didn't want to turn around, but I did. She was still in her front yard. When I gave her the tract and told her it said how much God loved her, she looked at me and she said, "Thanks. I really needed to hear that." I looked over at her when I drove away, and she had stopped what she was doing and stood there and was reading the tract. You never know how people are going to respond, and that's the scariest thing to me when God asks me to do things like this. But it's amazing. Almost always people are very gracious and very receptive and thank me for either telling them that God loves them or sharing a tract with them or whatever He has me do. Sharing our faith will look different for each one of us. And I want to be clear that I'm not saying God is going to ask you to do some of the things that He's asked me to do. We're all different. I'm just sharing what He did in my life because that's all that I have to go on. I mean, that's my experience. But all of us are different, and the ministry that He has for you will be different. So I don't want you to think that I'm saying that you have to do things that I have done. But what I am saying is God will ask each one of us to share our faith in some way. And the important thing is that we're obedient to what He asks us to do. I wanted to give you just a few practical ideas of how we might share our faith. I know some of you are doing some things that I haven't thought of or am not going to share, but I just wanted to kind of throw some things out to give you some ideas. The first is to look at who God has put in your life already. We all have people in our lives, coworkers, friends, families, neighbors, and ask Him to put on your heart at least one person that He might want you to befriend or spend more time with and maybe have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. Also, use the holidays to share your faith. Christmas is coming up. We're going to have a Christmas program at church. We can invite people to that. We can include the gospel message in our Christmas cards. And maybe you don't send Christmas cards, but maybe the Lord would put on your heart that's something to do, to give out the gospel. Or a newsletter that doesn't say anything about you necessarily, but says something about God and what He's done for this world. Or you could have a birthday party for Jesus for the neighborhood kids. And there's organizations and lots of materials available if you're interested in that or feel like God's putting that on your heart to give a neighborhood Bible study for the kids. See me and I can kind of direct you to some information and to materials. It's all made up already, the stories, the songs, the Bible verses, even the invitations. And you just take an hour out of your time and make a snack and invite the neighborhood kids and then watch God work. It's amazing. I've always been blessed when I've had those. Another way that we can share our faith is to offer to pray with people. We take it for granted that we can just ask a Christian friend to pray for us, but the people that don't know God often don't have anybody praying for them, so that's a blessing if we just offer to pray for them. Invite someone to church. It was a long time until recently that I had invited somebody to church, but we have a wonderful church. And we think that people aren't interested. They're going to say no, but we never know until we pray about it and ask God to put someone on our heart and then to begin to pray that they be receptive. We can give away CDs from the church or from conferences that we have here. Sometimes people will listen to things, not come to church, but they'll listen to a CD that you give them. Some people have a ministry of writing letters to people in jails or prisons. Or you can share the gospel in a letter to a family or friend that may not listen to you in person, or maybe you're afraid to tell them in person. God has put on my heart several times to write a letter to some people in my life. It was probably because I was too scared to tell them in person. I don't know. But I was afraid of what they would think and, you know, how that goes. And they probably already think I'm a religious nut, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I might as well just write the letter, give them the gospel, and know that they've been told about God. But I never really heard back too much about how they responded, but I had the joy of knowing that I was obedient to something that God had asked me to do. Or we can support a missionary or an organization that is sharing the gospel, so we're not maybe doing it directly, but we're helping someone else to do that. There's so many things that we can do, but the important thing is to pray about it and ask God to direct you into how He wants you to share your faith. I want to end with sharing an excerpt from a book. And I want to end with it because it shows the importance of sharing our faith. It's an excerpt from a book by Amy Carmichael. Some of you may be familiar with her. She was a missionary to India and a great woman of God. She writes, "I could not sleep. As I lay awake, I looked and I saw this." So she had a vision. "I stood on a stretch of grass at the edge of a cliff. I looked over the cliff, but saw no bottom. Then I saw forms of people moving single file along the grass. They were making for the edge of the cliff. There was a woman with a baby in her arms and another little child holding on to her dress. She was on the verge of going over. Then I saw that she was blind. She lifted her foot and went over the cliff, and the children went with her. Oh, the cry as they fell. Then I saw streams of people flowing from all over. All were blind, all headed for the edge of the cliff. I wondered with agony why no one stopped them at the edge. I could not. I was glued to the ground, and I could not. I couldn't call. I couldn't do anything. Then I saw that along the edge there were soldiers standing guard at intervals. But the intervals were too great. It was through these gaps that the people fell, not having anyone to warn them. I then saw, like a picture of peace, a group of people under some trees, with their backs to the cliff's edge. They were making daisy chains. Sometimes a piercing shriek cut through the quiet air and it reached them. If one of them started to get up to do something to help, then all the others would pull that one down. They would say, 'Why get so excited about it? You must wait for a definite call to go. Besides, You haven't finished making your daisy chains yet. Then I saw another group of people. They had been standing on the cliff's edge and had their place there, but they had grown tired and they went to rest for a while. But no one replaced them, and over the people fell like a waterfall of souls. I heard a sound like the pain of a million broken hearts. Then thundered the voice of the Lord, "What have you done?" The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And she ended it there. And I don't share that with you to condemn anyone or to make anyone feel bad, but just to show the seriousness of sharing our faith. And none of us are sitting around making daisy chains, but so often we get so busy doing other things and we're not sharing our faith. We're not looking for the lost. We're not sharing the gospel. We're not responsible for how people respond to the gospel, but God has commanded us to give it out in any way that He tells us to do. Will you take your place at the edge of the cliff? Will you allow Jesus to make you fishers of men? Let me pray for us. God, we just look to you tonight, and we look to you for help. Because on our own, we are selfish and just too concerned with our own lives. We ask that you give us your heart for the lost, your burden for the lost, your eyes for the lost. We ask, Lord, that you make us fishers of men. Help us to be willing. Help us to be ready. Help us to be obedient. God, we look to you for all that we need. And we trust you that you love us, that you're full of mercy, and that you will help us in this endeavor to serve you, to know you, to make you known to this world. I thank you, Lord, that you saved each one of us. Help us never to take that for granted, but to always be praising you for our salvation and for the people that reached out to us and told us about you. In Jesus' name, amen. It didn't take as long as I thought, but tonight we're not going to get into our...